life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
I am recording. It's going up.
Thanks for recording. Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 138 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. And joining us today is Niall Flanagan.
Shucks, howdy, amigos.
Once again, and we're here to discuss the 1994 OVA series. I forgot to write that down.
It is 94.
Going by memory, Gunsmith Cats, based on the comic by Kenichi Sanada. But first, our weekly retro recap this week, where we look back 10 years at an anime, episode by episode, until one of us gets sick of it, and then we start all over again. And we are currently on episode 3 of Genshiken. And as I picked it, it's my turn to recap it.
Phew. So, I've got a pounding headache.
The club go to Comifest, which is certainly not Comiket. No, sirree. Not in the slightest. a huge comic convention where they're off to buy some doujin. But they got to queue up in the humid rain first. And Madarame is going insane with excitement. He can barely contain himself. So the suggestion goes for a run, and he jokingly makes like he is, and then slips up and injures his hand. And he tries to ignore the pain and grin and bear it so he can get through the day. This is the first time I've been able to relate to Genshiken, because two cons in the last 4 years I've managed to injure myself on the very first day. I think I may have injured myself more than Madarame did at the last ICON, because I was bleeding copiously from my knee.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Soiled.
Pair of trails is absolutely ruined.
Gross.
Wearing the lightest pair of, thinnest pair of trousers I own. And I went outside, slipped up on the wet path, just like Madarame did in this, onto an umbrella, though it was more the grazing of my knee, which was, just took the top layer of skin off. And then went and picked my badge up for the weekend.
We weren't doing that, you're picking the scab all weekend.
No, he didn't scab over till after the weekend had finished.
It was that deep.
It wasn't that deep, it was just that large surface area. And he was about bruised. Bruising was more the problem, like Madarame's sprained wrist in this.
So do you see yourself as a Madarame character?
Only in that.
Okay. Only in that. I was just checking. Just checking.
And I wasn't goofing off like he was.
Sure you weren't.
And, and then it mainly follows Sasahara going around experiencing this comic convention for the first time. And he really enjoys it. He buys and buys and buys and buys and buys many doujin, all mainly of one character out of that cartoon they watch, whose name I can't remember, Kujibiki Imbalance.
Looks like a terrible show.
And then we get a little bit of story advancement with, what's the guy's name? The guy from the manga club, who's also technically part of Genshiken.
I've literally just watched the last 5 minutes of it just before. I
know, that's just what me and Niall were saying.
I watched half this morning.
That's why you
work.
Were running late, because you rewatched.
I only finished work an hour ago.
Haraguchi.
I knew it was with a H.
Yeah, he seems to bully the other members, and he's trying to convince Sasahara to leave Genshiken and join the manga society. Because they get to go in early, because they've got a table where they sell their... They're pornographic doujin.
He looks like Gabe Newell as well. We've had a few Gabe Newells popping up. This is Shaven Gabe. Is he a nice guy?
No, he's a dick.
He's an elitist, which is...
Well, no, he's a bully, I think. It's because he makes all the other members of the club who are there get off their chairs so he and Sasahara can sit down. And then he gives away their comics for free. Sasahara.
Why is he so interested in Sasahara?
I have no idea. Maybe that we'll find out in later episodes. Yeah, if we want to watch any more. Because this episode looked like garbage.
Ugh.
It was really badly animated and drawn. And if it wasn't for the story and the voice acting, it would be unwatchable, I think.
I'll give you that one.
The other joke I liked was, what's the fat lad's name? The stuttering fat lad.
Oh, God, so many names. I really can't remember his name. I know what you're going to say, though.
Yeah, when he's sitting down with all the other stuff, yeah. All the other fat lads with their towels.
Yeah, it's good. It's so true to life. That's exactly what it's like at a convention.
I can't remember seeing loads of fat lads sitting down, patting themselves with towels.
Oh,
all in a row.
That's what me and Greg were doing. We just sat down.
Well, at least these guys have got their shirts on.
Oh, take it easy. It's a family show. I like this episode. I know you criticize it for the animation, but I don't know, each episode I feel like, yeah, I've kind of done that myself. I've been there. I know what those people are like. I don't know, I'm relating to it, possibly for the wrong reasons, but I'm definitely there.
Have you spent that much at a con?
Well, I mean, he's literally just dojin after dojin. I'll have that. It's exactly what I did with a bunch of DVDs. So yeah, I've definitely... How much has he spent? He spends around 600, 700 on average per...
Yeah.
Which is, how much is 1,000 yen in pounds?
In 2004.
2004.
I've not ordered anything from Japan probably since 2004, so when the exchange rate was better.
Either way, we've all had sessions in the dealer's room. Probably bought something that we shouldn't.
I've had sessions in the dealer's room where I've come away with more money than I went in.
Dodgy deals. The wolf of Con Street. The wolf of Artist Alley.
Yen. Okay, where are we? Trying to find a...
I'm just intrigued whether that, like, 600, 700 is expensive or not, because...
Okay, well... No, I've done that completely the wrong way around. That's £1,000. Try that way. 1,000 yen at the moment is just under £6.
I guess it's
not too bad, I guess. Probably only £100 he spent in total.
I spent more than that in 2006. Seven on my DVD binge. So, yeah.
So, you want to watch the next episode?
Yes, I think this has been the weakest so far, although I'm still enjoying it. You know, I've got to be critical, but I'll watch the next one.
Oh, I'll give it one more. If the animation's garbage on the next one, though, I'll pull in the plug.
I feel like you're watching it for the wrong reasons.
It's not to say we won't come back and do the entire show as a separate episode at a later date. I mean, I stopped Beck, but I've since bought Beck on DVD.
Have you really?
So yes.
God. You can't be trusted.
And it's in the list of future topics, so there you go.
Oh, well, I better keep my DVD. I would have binned it, unless you'd said. No, I was loving Beck. I was enjoying it. Anyway, definitely episode 4.
Moving on to Gunsmith Cats from 1994. So, how do you first come across Gunsmith Cats? Niall.
Who? Niall.
Yeah. Would have come across it first via Riding Bean. Anyway, there was that, but I'm gonna focus on a different character, Bean Bandit, the Roadbuster. That's another kind of Kita Sonoda joint. They made an OVA of it back in the 80s, and it had Riley Bishop from Gunsmith Cats in it, but she was like a blonde Caucasian woman, and it's kind of weird, because it kind of turned her, I guess, in the later on versions into like somebody of, I don't know where she's from, in India or something like that. She's got, you know, much like darker complexion anyway.
She's got a weird super dupe. Her father's Indian and her mother's English.
Is that it? Okay.
Yes, so. She's not even an American.
And anyways, I think I started picking up the manga of it anyway, because I did start putting out these like compiled volumes that were to be kind of big omnibus size ones, and I saw them in a bookshop for going for no money at all. I was like, oh, I know that Kichi Snowy, he's the guy who did all the character designs for like Bubblegum Crisis and all those sort of things back in the 80s. So I thought I'd just pick it up and give it a go. Also because it had Bean Bandit in it, so I guess what else. And so I just picked up the whole thing, got like the I think I have all of the manga of Ghost of the Cats that's been printed in English, which is not bad now. And the really kind of fun, cool little stories. I got the I managed to get the OVA as well and watched that and enjoyed the hell out of it. Like, there's some great action in there, but it's brought down a bit by Sonoda's other leanings, shall we say. It's really kind of frustrating because the guy knows how to choreograph a great gunfight and a great action scene, and also plot is his artwork is great. You know, so his layout is really good, but it's all undercut with this really sleazy, skeezy, freaking. He has this weird kind of inclination towards underage girls. Let's call it that.
Hey, she was 18 years old in that Dark Horse edition you were reading. So
she was 17. She was 17. I was 17 when it started out, and she was working as a child prostitute before that.
Which character are you referring to here?
Minnie Mae.
Minnie Mae Hopkins.
Yep.
Oh God, I didn't know her backstory was that.
Think I was going through them there the other day rereading them. I think she started out in a brothel in Chinatown when she was 13 or 14. And at the start of the manga, she's 17. So, make it that what you will. And it's not like, you know, she could come from this, like, really rough background, and it's like, you know, it's really kind of informed her character and like that. No, she still regularly indulges in that, you know, like, apparently being a child prostitute was great. And and she brings it up.
It just seemed like a terrible backstory for a character that's not been shaped by that at all.
Apparently it was brilliant, though. She learned everything she knew there, and then
she learned some of it from her boyfriend, Ken Takizawa, who you get a tiny... I mean, this isn't in the OVA at all. It's like a tiny hint of him.
That's
some static from Niall.
No, it's someone got a water hose.
He's
water leaking.
No, he started cooking there.
he's in a kitchenette.
Yeah, the kitchen, like, back side of the club, after the sitting room.
You've got one of these internet cookers you're using to podcast through the cooker.
Smoking hot podcast, what can I say?
I'll see if I can remove that in the post-production. Otherwise, people will be hearing bacon cooking or something.
Oh, it smells, it sounds great.
Yeah, so he's this... Bomber. I don't know. Is he a terrorist? I don't know exactly what he is.
But I think it was like logistic, you know. No. Like, you know, he did like build bombs. That's always like he knew how to disarm them. But he knows how to build them pretty good too. Like, there's a whole storyline where like he is making bomb system for this like lunatic, and then halfway through this operation he wants to like go straight. So Yeah, so that's just, he's like Minnie Mae's boyfriend, and there'd be a bit of an age gap there you would expect. A quiet gap, because he's, I think, in his mid-30s.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And he met her back when she was working in the brothel, when she was 30, 40, whatever like that. So,
how did he...
Well, according to the wiki, she was found by him, but when he had to go underground, she joined the brothel.
Ooh.
Okay.
So he didn't help the situation.
No.
Okay.
Like, it comes back into life and he just, like, after he fakes his death and, like, just gets spent surgery to change his face, they start, you know, pick up where they left off. No problems.
See, he's not mentioned at all in the OVA, is he?
He is, yes. There's the bit where Minnie Mae is hugging a pillow. Humping a pillow might be more accurate.
Yeah, thank God I let that just that. It goes into explicit detail in the manga. You just get up to Minnie Mae's not around.
Yeah, I think there's only like little hints in the last episode when Roy Coleman shows up, constantly reminding you that he's from the Chicago Police Force. He's also from the comic, but everybody else is
new
to the anime, so you don't have to worry about any of the sleaziness at all.
Mm.
I wasn't worried, I was just... No, that seems like such... I mean, judging from the OVA, to think that there's this really sinister backstory, you would not believe that.
It's more sleazy than sinister. If there's anything sinister, it's more in the guy making the right.
Do you think he puts his own self in this Ken Takizawa? we're leaning towards...
I mean, that would be my guess.
Because I've only just found out about the guy, and I'm leaning towards
like the one Japanese character.
I think he's like a Japanese-American, but whatever.
But he does have the
same first name.
He's a Ken.
Ken. What an anagram. We've cracked it.
I did think of something like, you know, who's this guy Ken? Who's this guy Kentucky? You know, what kind of name is that for a guy?
Hmm. 51 years old, Kenichi Sonata is nowadays.
51. Dirty old man.
Well, he was an old one. This would have been. This is 94, and obviously the manga well before.
So, yeah. He'd be in his late 20s, early 30s.
Hmm.
I came across, I think I probably had read the comic as well. I can't remember whether it had run a few chapters in Manga Mania or whether my brother had just bought the Dark Horse adaptations. I was just reading it was originally they upped the age of her to 18 and then in the later editions they put it back down again to 17.
Wonderful. The manga was intended to be by the author.
But yeah, he was either reading that and then this came along on VHS as one of the first releases that ADV did in the UK.
I did not know that, actually. That's,
As I was working, doing my industrial placement at university, I was spending all my money on anime videos.
And this was one of them.
This was one of them, yeah. This and Dragon Half.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say, it's not one to pick for one of the first releases, but then I guess everybody knows his character designs from all the old 80s stuff, so they probably
match onto it. Yeah, it was... Because of mainly for Bubblegum Crisis. Because there's a certain section of anime fans... For people who aren't even anime fans, where Bubblegum Crisis is the anime. That's it. There is no other anime. Just Bubblegum Crisis.
God knows why. Sorry, but God knows why.
But yeah, because all that art mix stuff got released by Animego and anime projects over here. Yeah, people knew his character designs. I think he went to a lot of US cons as well, didn't he, in the 90s?
Yeah, man. I think he showed up at one, and there was like he was kind of lower down the bill. There were guys above him. I think it was who else was there? Nobu Ishiguro was there. I think Yoshiki Kakekawaji was there. Like a bunch of these, like really like kind of well known guys all appeared at the same con. Along with Kichi Sonoda, he was like lower down the bill. Would have loved to have been at that convention, but
yeah. Who do we get, bloody? In fact, I'm not going to even name people. I don't know. I would like to see
steampunk rappers.
To be fair, I did meet that guy, and he was a nice guy.
Oh, I'm sure he is a nice guy.
I got a picture with him.
And
as
I'm
well.
Sure I might even like him, but I wouldn't go see. He would not be an attraction to go to an anime convention.
Oh no, he's not top of the list. He's not even on the list.
Yeah,
sorry.
On this animecons.com, it's got him being Anime Con 91, Anime America 93, Anime Expo 96, Anime Central 98, Anime Central 2008, and he's just come back from Seattle because he was apparently at the Emerald City Comic Con.
Oh, wow. See, we, over in the UK, we need some good guests like that. I would love to have someone that, you know, there's not a big enough pull because, I mean, London Expo, that had... what's his name? What an Abe.
Yes.
So that's like, wow, I didn't get a chance to see him, but I'd love to photo with him.
What would you do with that photo?
I'd have it, by the side of my bed.
Okay.
With the, hopefully a signed copy of Cowboy Bebop or perhaps Kids on the Slope, if he was willing to sign it.
Kiss a good night every time you go to bed.
Yeah, kiss a good night.
How about you, Anthony?
Um, for once, I mean, there's a lot of things that I've seen that we've not covered, but I saw this about 4 or 5 years ago. Just after watching, I think I watched Ride and Bean first. Either way, I got them both posted to me on a DVD download, like somebody downloaded, burnt it to a disc, and I needed it for an AMV. So I watched them, mainly intentionally for an AMV, but it turned out that I liked them then. So I was that was my first experience. And I've not watched anything else, really, to be honest, by the guy. I did give Bubblegum Crisis a go, and I'm not going to lie, I didn't really like it. I thought it was pretty dull. Perhaps I've watched the wrong bits, but a friend had some on VHS recorded off Sci-Fi. I think it was off Sci-Fi. And I was probably mid-season, and I did not really have a clue what was going on, but it just seemed, from going from like Akira and Cyber City at the time to jump to Bubblegum Crisis, it just felt like a letdown.
Nope.
Blimey, no.
2040.
Can't hear a single thing you
it
just said.
It would have been... I heard the 2040. It would have been that 2040. Is it 2040 or 2041?
Well, yeah. 2040, you had nothing to do with that.
Oh, did you not? Well, that's the one I've seen then. So perhaps I'm cutting this guy the wrong slice of cake. I'll give him a good slice. Yeah, I guess that's unfair to say. But yeah, I've never been interested. Yeah,
completely unfair. Because it's very completely unfair. Different show. Made by completely different people.
Yeah. It's not bad. Not terrible.
I mean, I don't know which I preferred, whether it's Ride and Bean or Gunsmith Cat. I think I'm probably going to say Gunsmith Cat. I think the duo are better than... Bean's a badass, but the duo is great. Either one.
Like Beans is the main character of that now. And Rally is there, but she gets a lot less to do. She gets to like fire off a few shots, and in the beginning, there's no trust of ball sexy like, but that's kind of it then. It's really Bean who is resolves the whole situation in that overview.
He's just, I mean, she's constantly badass, but he's a bit of a dick, really, in comparison. I mean, I think that's what lets Gunsmith Cat down, not the fact that they're not dicks. I don't the whole gun kind of selling guns, you know, that's the base of the story, like corrupt, you know, politicians, that doesn't appeal to me as much as, you know, being just riding around being a total badass.
Well, the good news is in the comic you get all three of them together.
Oh, that's great. And are they fighting alongside each other?
Against at first, and then and then the guy come to like an agreement. I think they had to have like a bet for like Rally doesn't like that Bean will touch with anything, including illegal drugs. And Rally has this kind of bad run where like a friend of hers gets dies of a drug overdose, and it's like, and the guy have like a kind of cross country road race slash shootout to cry, and like, if she wins, you know, she, Bean won't run drugs anymore. And it spins up into this whole other kind of web of intrigue with crime bosses and stuff like that. But it turns into a good guy in the end, shall we say. But he was always a bit of a good guy.
He's a lovable rogue.
Yeah. Like, so nice. He wanted to do a whole manga about being mad at himself, but never took off for whatever reason. Like, he goes into it in the back of, like, I think it was the fourth omnibus edition, before it turned into Gunsmith Cat's Burst, and there's a whole spiel about why it didn't take off, but I didn't get around to rereading it.
So yes, this actual OAV, It was cut together later into Gunsmith Cat's Bulletproof, which was like a single, because it is all just one story really. It is three act. Each OAV is an act to one story. I'm looking currently on Amazon. So you can get them as like different DVD releases. One is new. I assume this must be out of print because one's new at £45.
Woo!
Another is at £107.95. And the final one, this is used, is £527.99.
Used by
who?
For what? That is the perfect collection, apparently. It looks like it might be a German release because it's, I don't know.
See, I know you mentioned these Amazon like lists where they're like £1,000, £1,500. Surely nobody buys them.
No, of course not.
They can't, but why list them? Because, you know, you're not doing anybody a favour by saying, look what I've got.
Because you never know.
Maybe yeah, some buffoon.
Maybe they were doing like a speculator and they just like, they bought this up. And I think, well, this is going to be like worth like thousands in a couple of years. So here's like a second-hand kind of dog-eared German edition of this like tree OVA. $10,000 if you don't mind.
Or you can also get it used for £8.
Ah, well, that's more like it. That's definitely worth it. I was going to say, if you can't find it, just, it's on YouTube. I'm sorry, but I don't want to see anybody be fleeced out of £1,500. It's on YouTube, all of it. What more could you want?
So this story follows the Gunsmith Cats, who are bounty hunters slash... they got a gun shop. Pretty much. I don't really know what Minnie Mae does in terms of the gun shop part of the deal.
I forget how they
security, met. Security, maybe. I don't know.
I think she's training Minnie Mae in. Minnie Mae like takes a more active role in the shop eventually, but not in this really. She's just like, I don't know, professional layabout.
And they get dragged into a ATF investigation by Bill Collins from the Chicago office of the ATF. Who sort of compares himself to Elliot Ness quite often.
I don't even know who Elliot Ness is.
What?
I'm sorry. I was waiting for this to come up.
Have you never watched The Untouchables?
I've not.
What? Is that the movie and the thing?
Is that the... oh, hold on. No.
You might know the film with like Kevin Costner and Sean Connery. And Elliot, he's like only cop in the force. He sends a squad of guys to take down freaking Al Capone.
Ah, so he's behind all that stuff, right? Okay. Yeah. Don't sound so surprised.
That was like a pretty well known reference.
Yeah, it's cultural knowledge.
It was lost on me. Lost.
Well, Bill Collins looks a lot more like a man from Licensed by Royalty, if I know, than...
He does.
He's a
Rick
bit of...
Rick Becker. Oh, which one was he again?
Yeah, I think he's Rick. Yeah, he's...
I don't want to revisit that.
He's the American one. He wasn't American, but yeah. Yeah, he's a bit of a scruff with a...
looks more like Rick Mail in Bottom.
90s ponytail.
Yeah, that can't be a regulation haircut, you know?
So he's investigating the guy you see them take down at the start of the first OAV, Washington. And he drags them in, well, specifically Rally in, by pointing out that she hasn't got a license for some of the weapons she's selling, and something to do with tax as well.
Yeah.
And he thinks there's a leak inside the ATF, which is part of this arms running deal, and it eventually involves former KGB assassins, politicians, all sorts of things. It runs pretty much like a standard sort of 70s action cop show, really, or film, maybe more.
Very standard. As much as I like it, the story is the weak point, so I'm going to say very standard. I don't know whether because it was the second viewing of it, but I don't know, because to be honest, I'm not even going to lie, as much as I liked it when I first saw it, I was watching this and I was thinking, have I seen this before? I genuinely forgot I'd watched it because of editing with it for a video. It kind of just gets blurred into like a mishmash. So I couldn't even remember that I'd seen it. And because of that, the story just didn't grip me this time around.
The story could easily have been a episode of Sledgehammer if they were taking the mickey out of the story as they were doing it. I don't know if you're familiar with the 80s cop show Sledgehammer. It's like a parody of Dirty Harry.
Okay.
I highly recommend it. I'm sure there must be some episodes on YouTube. If not, you can get it on DVD pretty cheap.
It's got a great theme song.
It does.
No,
they wanted to use that.
Did they really?
Peter Gabriel wanted them to use it, but they secured the publishing.
Bloody hell. But anyway, sorry to interrupt, carry on.
But yeah, it's about a cop who's in love with his gun.
This is on, I've got this on a notepad file somewhere.
Probably, yeah.
You've recommended to watch it, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Which is kind of a bit like Rally. She appears to only be in love with guns and cars.
And this certainly knows how to draw weaponry and machinery.
Well, yeah.
You can draw a gun well.
On the first VHS, I assume it was beyond the DVD, there was like a lengthy, probably longer than the IAV itself, making of.
Showing or just how, the gun part.
Well, no, showing how the animators went travelled to Chicago various times to visit police academies and look at gun. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they had an actual like consultant into for the firearms.
Yeah. I think it's particularly evident in the first two episodes, less so in the third. The third's animation seems a little different to the first two's. Looking at the credits, it seems like that's split up more between different people.
Yeah, I noticed in the third part, like, losing a lot of detail on the hands.
Yes.
Kind of turning into kind of like paws, I guess. More than anything else.
Yeah, I noticed the animation production is done by OLM, who'd go on to do Pokemon, and by part three, they were getting close to Pokemon character designs. But the backgrounds still look great, and often the action still looked great. But yeah, the detail was beginning to disappear a bit.
Probably because I spent all the budget and drawn those guns. I've never seen such a detailed tire or wheel as in this. It might as well be a photograph. Spinning.
Yeah, I can't remember whether Desert Punk, the guns in the anime are super detailed, but I know from what I've seen of the Desert Punk manga, the guns are ridiculously detailed to the point where that seems to be all where all the effort has gone in.
I respect that because it looks good, but yeah.
And it's directed by Takeshi Mori. What we watched of we who did The Schoolman.
Mm. Okay.
And Stratus 4, Vandred.
Vandred, that guy. I guess that was his baby.
Yeah. And various other bits and pieces.
Also, that Tuan no Kwan thing is a kind of movie series which I heard was alright, I guess.
And the screenwriter apparently has written nothing else but directed three episodes of Car Fight Vanguard, according to Anime News Network. So that may be incorrect. Seems a little odd, so that may be a pseudonym, maybe.
Got blacklisted immediately after this.
The story, I mean, I was criticizing the story, it's not that bad. kick this guy out of Japan.
Now, did you watch the dub or the subtitles?
Dub.
This was the first time I'd watched the dub.
I'd watched it subbed, because that was the version that I had on hand, so go with that one.
The dub, I'd say the script is good. The acting, less so.
I didn't mind Rally Vincent, but it felt like everybody else was...
Yeah, I think you could be right.
Especially the Rush... I can't remember her name again. It's so forced.
Did she put on a bad Russian accent?
Oh, it's like a joke Russian accent at times.
Like, what's kill moose and squirrel?
Yes, it is pretty close to that.
It's so bad. At first I thought, oh, nice, you know, because I couldn't remember. I was like, oh, sexy Russian accent. It's not sexy at all. It's, yeah.
Well, like Dexter from Dexter's Lab.
You say exactly. That's not a sexy Russian accent?
Well, I hold my hands up. But I think Raleigh was fine. Minnie Mae Hopkins seems a bit... I know she is a bubbly... I don't know. But too much. Too OTT. I don't remember whether I watched the sub or the dub.
I think I originally...
Back in the day.
I think I bought it as subtitled on VHS. If it was available subtitled, I certainly would have bought it as subtitled.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you get... The first episode, I think you could watch as a standalone.
Agreed.
A little bit of a mystery as to who the guy's boss is, but then the second two, you kind of really got to watch them together.
Yeah. The kind of like, because you have like Ratnov is introduced, and then at the end, she gets away, or so it seems, you know.
Yeah. I do like, they say in the first episode, when there's that huge gunfight at the end, that apparently nobody had been killed.
Well, Randy really shoots the kill. She always goes for the, just a shot. You know, she'll like wing you in the shoulder or the leg, or failing that, she'll blow off your trigger finger so you can't fire your gun.
Even that guy who was in the operating the crane with the bad crazy eyes, who left a huge blood splatter when he got shot. Apparently, okay, take him away in ambulance. He was my favourite character side of the entire thing. The one who's got the huge eyes. He looks close.
Loves his job. Looking great.
Maybe he's got a little plastic little photograph inside of his little cab.
So how quickly did you figure out who the traitor was in the ATF office?
It's so obvious.
De uno.
Obviously, the traitor in the ATF is going to be the head of the ATF. He's here in his office taking like suspicious calls before Billy Collins walks in. He may as well be doing the sneaky eyes.
And the fact that Bill Collins tells him that he thinks there's a leak, that he says he's going to have to investigate it on his own. And that's the only guy he tells that he's going to investigate it. And then he's instantly captured by the bad guys. Does not manage to
put... And he still doesn't get it.
No.
Still doesn't get it.
And what would be an 80s action movie without a Russian villain? Yeah, I do like Radanov, because she's taking that cue from Bean Bennett, where she has like armor plating on the inside of her trench coat. That was like Bean Bennett's whole thing. I mean, he even had like an armored headband, so it was hard to shoot him in the head.
I like her hairstyle. I would totally wear... Well... Wouldn't wear it. I would totally have that if I didn't look like a buffoon.
But she is she's a rare character who has a haircut midway through a anime, though.
What's her reasoning for that? Because she's just stood over a sink.
She goes nuts when the rally manages to shoot her ear, doesn't she?
Mm.
Yep. The alien was important to her. Maybe her granny gave it to her. We're not sure, but it's worth killing for anyway. It's
worth cutting her hair for as well. What do you think about her weapon, like the dagger with the hilt that shoots as well as shoots out the blade? I think it's a cool weapon.
Yeah, like, didn't What's-Her-Face, one of the characters in America Solid anyway, at that thing. America Solid 2, we get that first boss fight. And she
Olga Galukovich.
Galukovich, that's it. Yeah. She has the gun knife.
Yeah, she's also got a cool hairstyle, actually.
Yeah, I know they exist, dude, because talking about obsession about details. I used to have a book for role-playing games which just had loads and loads of stats for guns.
Oh, wow.
For various different role-playing game systems. And I believe one of those was in there.
Let's hope there's not a murder and didcot. Because if you search your house...
I sold that on eBay ages ago.
Oh, okay. Somebody else would take the flak for that.
Yeah.
I think it's a good weapon. I would like to see it in other things. But I don't know. I don't know whether it could be applied in as many... A cool way is the first time you see it.
She's plenty to choose from, you know, like that quote of hers is like so many things in the inside pockets. You got like knives, a submachine gun, you've got everything you need, besides being armor plated. I did like when she comes back to her hiding spot, she has a hanger coat on the coat hook and it snaps off immediately as it would.
She's like a walking bomb. Like if it's, you know, ammo can explode. If she had her jacket open, which she does, and somebody got the inside, you know, she's going up in flames.
She's the real-life Terminator, as even Nick Rasmus.
She definitely is.
The whole thing where she goes in and wastes all the dudes in the safe house, that was completely Terminator. It's just like going down, like, down the corridor room by room, just killing all the guys in the building.
I think apart from the car chase, that's probably my favourite action scene in the entire OVA, to be honest.
Oh, I like the shootout in the first episode.
Yeah, there's some cool.
Oh yeah, to be honest, yeah, that's a
like,
good point.
Right, it's like firing a shotgun, like and hoping, well, and getting lucky, and like this the pellets spread out and get all the guys in the feet.
That would.
Yes, yeah, and Bill throws Washington out the doorway, doesn't he, off the balcony, so as cover, and gratuitous bra shot. Though for some reason she's not embarrassed then, even though she was embarrassed about being in her underwear earlier in the episode. And that, that was the boost didn't ring true to me, because I figured that she wouldn't. It seemed odd that she'd be embarrassed like that.
At all in the first place, yeah.
Yeah, but that was different. Maybe she, the adrenaline, she, you know, she had to keep on going and ignore it. Like, she's not averse to jumping out straight out of her pants if she has to escape a situation.
I did mention the opening credits.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Which are Cowboy Bebop's opening credits before Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
But what, instead of the swordfish, it's a Mustang. That should be done. Somebody needs to do that.
It's a Shelby GT500 Cobra, have you now?
Listen to this guy. And it is a very... It's far better than Bean's car.
Well, I don't know. Or Bean's car is...
I think it's just the white and the blue just really sets it off. I'm not like a car nerd or anything, but it's a... I would drive that if I could get in shoeing on it.
It's a very attractive car. Right?
It is. Yeah. It is.
Bean's car's got all the gadgets, though.
It does, but... I guess so.
It has the wheels that can go sideways. So you can drive sideways. It's really cool. And the spikes, you can cling onto the road. And a little port in a window, so you can shoot a pistol out to anybody beside you.
There are bits where it does feel like you're watching. Well, it's nowadays, not at the time, but nowadays it does occasionally feel like you're watching somebody play GTA 5.
Yeah. I love that car chase. It takes a lot to impress me with a car chase. I wasn't necessarily blown away by it, but it's a good car chase. I do like that a lot.
It's a good movie now when, I think when they get onto the freeway and they're this guy, I track in Radnoff's garage, is weaving in and out. It looks really nice when they're doing that.
Yeah, and close up of the wheel, don't forget the close ups.
Yeah, and then the music kicks in because they've, Rally and Mindy May have rehearsed this whole, scenario beforehand, so there's no to, so even though in many ways other Karen can't hear it, just somehow knows to go through all the motions again.
Imagine they weren't behind at that point. There was nobody behind the car and she just fell out onto the freeway. Pretty embarrassing.
Foolproof plan. Foolproof.
Yeah, apparently the music's by Peter Erskine. He was a session drummer in Steely Dan and Weather Report.
Ooh. I can't even replicate the tune, but it's a very good intro theme.
It's good. I did like the, I think, bit of the score as well for that whole thing and the closing bit too.
You're suddenly a lot clearer again, Niall.
No.
His flatmate's left. He's turned off the lag switch.
Maybe, yeah. But I like how the music is, because again, it heightens the feel of watching an 80s action movie. There's a bit of synth keyboard in part two, I think. The bus in the supposedly abandoned yacht house.
Yeah, their opening theme is very 70s cop show, though. It's like, I went and looked at some 70s cop shows. I compared 80s cop shows and 70s cop show music, and I think it's much closer to 70s cop show. Sort of like Streets of San Francisco or something.
It's a strip of Cagney and Lacey, because that's kind of what they are.
I was going to say, I don't remember Cagney and Lacey being quite so salacious.
I'm surprised there's not more Gunsmith Cats, like whether it be a film or an OVA. I would imagine being really popular.
It is odd that he didn't get a TV show.
I'm so surprised.
Like, you would think the guy who basically, if it was animated in the 80s, he probably did character designs for it, and it didn't give him throw him a bone and make him a TV series out of his stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. Really is. Who would win, the Dirty Pair or the Gunsmith Cats?
Well, the Dirty Pair, of course, because
they'd blow up Earth.
Yes.
Blow up Earth.
Yes.
No contest.
Answer my own question there.
They may not have intended win, but they probably would.
Even if they were best of friends throughout the film, they would leave planet Earth and destroy them.
It's not a different league, it's a different game they're playing.
That's true.
But you know, it is weird when they're making all like desperate for stuff to make into TV anime in the late 90s. It's weird that that wasn't one of the things they
picked. It seems like something that would be not even like on the back burner, be like, yeah, we're doing a Gunsmith Cat series.
But yeah, I mean, there's other things as well which seem odd, because I've made note of some. It's like Battle Angel Alita. I guess that's probably to do with James Cameron having the rights.
Yeah.
You have them even back then, yeah?
Yeah. I remember it being pretty, in the 90s, it being brought up. Because that was going to be his next project after whatever the next project he was doing was.
Well, to be fair, in his defense, he hasn't done a great deal.
No, it was going to be the next project after Avatar.
Ah, well, okay.
That Avatar was in the... Like, people were talking about Avatar for forever.
So I've never seen Battle Angel.
Well, we may rectify that on a later episode.
Oh, good, because
I've not watched it since the 90s.
It looks like it's just something that it would be right up my street.
There we go. Yeah, 2013, people still saying James Cameron plans Battle Angel Alita for 2017.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He's making, like, Avatar 2 and 3 now as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, you could be waiting a while for that again.
What else? I'm surprised there's not been more Bastard. Apart from those ROVs.
That's how I died on the vine. And when we were looking at Combustible Campus Gardeners on Secret of the Third Man, I was like, you know, looking like, what are you guys been getting up to? And it's, in short, nothing. Like, that was, I think that may have been the last thing they ever did, either of them.
Especially with, like, Berserk and, you know, and other things that...
Are the comics still ongoing?
Oh, Bastard.
Yes.
Yeah. Really? Must be quite sporadic if you're doing like your man numbers. Yeah.
I mean, how long did it take JoJo's the first series to come out following the OVA of Stardust Crusaders? How many years was that?
There was a film made in 2000 of Phantom Blood, but it never got. It didn't get released in the West, something like that, and it's quite hard to find, I think.
Okay.
Bastard comes out irregularly in Ultra Jump. The last collection was in March 2012.
Ooh, that's really irregular. God.
That's 27 volumes, so...
Since, the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, since 1988. Oh. Pretty slow going.
I bet a lot of artists would kill to have your schedule. You know, just put out whenever you feel like.
Yeah.
Ireland, we'll say, April or is punishing. Put it out every week, or even if you're dying, schedule.
Well, I think that's what Ultra Jump's for. Is you gradually get moved to there, the slower you get. You're not putting it out too often enough. Let's move you to Ultra Jump.
See, they'll not release Bastard, but they'll release Blade and Soul. These awful shows that are awful. Dog and Scissors and bloody... Well, those are the ones I don't like. Log Horizon.
Log Horizon's great. You're increasingly in a minority on that point of view.
I agree. More and more I hear from people, oh, do you watch Log Horizon? No. And there's people who don't really watch anime who are checking it out. I'm like, what is going on? That's honest truth. So I think I'm off. I'm missing something with it, maybe.
Well, yes, you're an insane person who saw that online. But you're not alone with that.
I thought I would like Blade and Soul because of that, but that's no good. Is it for another? Nah, maybe for another episode. Nah, I don't really want to talk about Blade and Soul.
So what else could do with a TV adaptation?
What's that?
3x3 Eyes.
Never seen the...
It's 40 volumes of the comic.
Oofed.
And all we got was two series of OAVs.
What's that one? Spriggan got a movie, and there's loads of that, isn't there?
I think there's a decent chunk. I've only read the bit which the movie's made out of.
I was never crazy on Spriggan, even when I liked it. Like, some great anime, great action and stuff, but I was never crazy, so I don't think I would welcome that. Yeah. In fact, compare it to some nonsense, I probably would welcome it. So.
There's 11 volumes of that. I've not. 11, I've,
yeah, maybe not, yeah.
I've only read the comic, I've not seen the film.
Oh, you've not seen the film?
No.
It's Akira on nothing. It's Akira on a glass of water to quench its thirst. It's just not that great.
Well, we may do an episode on it.
I think we should, because...
it may turn out that I love it, because I love the comic, so...
Yeah. It's not terrible fun. A lot of people are down as well. I think it's pretty fun.
Some of the action scenes are really, really good. Really good.
It's Indiana Jones if one of Indiana Jones' mate was a werewolf.
What is?
Springer.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's in the manga, yeah, but not in the movie.
Ah,
no, not in
the movie.
Okay.
So there you go. That piqued my interest drastically.
He's not a werewolf. Is he even in the movie?
Is he the French guy?
Yeah.
He's a French guy, but he's not a power werewolf. He's got his power of shotgun instead.
Okay.
Is that the guy who disappears and he's really quick? Is that right or not?
The guy disappears and he's really quick. I don't know.
He's got like a little... He's almost like... is it Walter from Helsing? Am I thinking of the right character?
Jean-Jacques... Mont.
No, that's the French guy. The French guy, he's from Springen, France, and he's getting a shotgun. that's all I can really remember about the guy.
Springen, France, because I really... And he's in the film. Is he on the cover? Is he the guy with the ponytail?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like got this weird Walter thing. He disappears, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, maybe he moves from France. I haven't seen him in a while,
But that's fine.
I thought you were talking about the Piano Wire, because Walter was that too. Well, no, the Piano Wire guy was one of the bad guys, that little kind of weird cyborg midget dude.
Yeah, I'm sure he tries to cut him up, and he just disappears. I'm sure he does. Either way, he doesn't turn into a werewolf. That would make it far, far better. Yeah. And I'm very disappointed.
He's a werewolf in the comic.
That is so awesome. Why wouldn't you do that? So yeah, you're going to be very disappointed with the film. I wish you didn't know, because you would have been expecting like a transformation scene. Oh, that's disappointing that you know.
Of course, the other thing I'd like to see them adapt the entirety of is Dragon Half.
Yeah. How long does that run for, the manga?
Not too long. I think you get probably 13 episodes out of it or something.
Hmm. Yeah, something I never saw as well.
You could see... Dhammaramu slowly get turned more into a robot until he's just a head.
Exactly, that's what we want. But yeah, he just does his comics now, doesn't he? Nobody wants to employ him to do character design for anime.
No, it doesn't seem that way now.
Why not? I don't.
I think he's very of a time, because some people.
Yeah, I guess.
Some people. I don't know, move with the times, maybe, and some people get stuck in the past.
Let's see. What's the most recent thing he just did? Was it this? Maybe,
anime-wise, yeah. Video game-wise.
Salty Ray.
Video game-wise, it's that Strip Marion game that he does all the character designs for.
Salty Ray.
I think Salty Ray was in the last kind of thing he worked on for TV, but I don't know, because he had the conceptual design of it.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember them looking too much like, recognisably, like his characters.
Like the main character from that looks weird. I don't like the look of her with the green hair.
Yeah, I remember him being pretty bad.
I like the dude in the long trench coat, but...
He's like a character from a 90s anime, wondering why he was in a 2000s anime.
Yeah, he's going very disappointed.
Why are all these girls here? Yeah, it's not like he's a Leiji Matsumoto where people just want to continually look at his character designs.
See, I much prefer the Gunsmith Cats, that design than... The Matsumoto stuff, I think. I don't know, maybe I just always associate his work with, like, boring. Which is probably unfair.
I was going to say, I thought you liked Interstellar 55555.
Oh, yeah, I like that. But the other stuff I've seen, segments of it.
Well, you're going to tell me about it in a future episode, about the Captain Harlock movie.
Yes.
Not that it looks too much like his character design.
No, it doesn't. It looks so close to real life. The CG in that film is very good. Well, a very, well, depends what you're after.
We'll say that.
Is it good?
Yeah.
about Ozma? Awesome.
I didn't get. I remember you discussing that on Secret of the Sailor Madness, and you guys made it seem like I would probably enjoy it. But then when crunch came down, I felt
It came down to the Crunchyroll.
Yeah,
that's right. I didn't have premium at the time, so
yeah. I think you did have premium at the time. I think you were borrowing. You had somebody's.
Oh, that's right. That's
the one didn't matter because it was one of the flagship things that they had to try and promote Viki, the other streaming service.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
What's yeah, Viki? it had Ozma, had Don Dracula, and one other thing, I think.
That's why it never lived.
It was all like, I think, Asian dramas.
Yeah, still has stuff on. I don't know. Sure, I'm not sure we can watch it in the UK, though.
Oh, okay.
Really? I had no problem watching it. No. I had no problem like watching it without any kind of like blocking or anything.
Let me see.
Crunchyroll has a lot of live action, like Japanese drama stuff, and I've been tempted, but I just don't know what to go for.
Who's watching those?
Well, I don't know. I felt intrigued, but I just don't know whether I'm going to watch a dreadful one or not. So
no, you're right, Niall. It worked perfectly fine for me. So yeah, currently most viewed on Viki are Adventures of Kimba the White Lion.
Oh, that makes sense.
Dear Brother.
Oh, that's where that went. I knew it was on this. There was a big thing about that, about Dear Brother, and where it was going.
Blackjack OEV series.
Is this a free?
Penguin yep. Musume Heart.
Yeah, it's all free.
Unfortunately, does not contain penguins. Kotetsu Sangokushi. Oh dear, Astro Boy. Don't know which one. But Astro Boy. Jungle Emperor Leo the Movie. Blue Blink. Marvelous Melmo. My Son Goku.
You know what?
Tezuka Lion Book Series. Don Dracula. Legend of Moby Dick. Tezuka Osamu's 13 Experimental Films. Ozma. A Time Slip of a Thousand Years. Primrose. Baggy, the Monster of Mighty Nature. Undersea Super Train, Marine Express. Ambassador Magma. The Tale of Osamu Tezuka, I'm Son Goku. This is last page. Winx Club 2, Magical Adventure.
Is this working from popularity right through?
But yes. This is
nobody caring at all.
Foo Moon, The Three-Eyed One, Waimu Kun. 1 Million Year Trip, Banda Book, Galaxy Investigation 2100, or 2100, Border Planet, Bremen 4, and Mysterious Cities of Gold.
Oh, what? So Mysterious Cities of Gold is bottom?
Yeah, it's least popular.
That seems
least viewed. It may have only just gone up or something.
Oh, okay.
So explain it.
When you were saying Don Dracula, I kept thinking you were going to say Don Draper.
No, Don Dracula.
Don Dracula.
And what is this? Viki? Can you spell Viki?
V-I-K-I.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll have a look at it, especially if it's free. That seems okay.
Yeah,
the
Astro Boy they have on here, I thought it was like the most recent one you guys were watching, because it uses an image from it. But you go into it, I think it's the 80s one that they actually have on it.
Yeah, that's what was confusing me as well.
And is it in full... Is it stuff good quality that they've got? Is it HD where it's available? Or?
HD, I don't know. It's not bad, no. All right.
No, it's not. Well, so this thing on Astro Boy I'm looking at goes up to 480.
Ugh. No, I'm joking.
But maybe if you log in, you get better.
Yeah.
If you sign up, you get HD with it. So yes.
Yeah, that sounds like
that's how they get you.
The usual deal.
I want to watch a Japanese drama. I'm going to ask on Twitter for somebody to... suggest a good Japanese...
Well, something on Crunchyroll.
Something on Crunchyroll.
Okay, because otherwise I was just watching a Kamen Rider 4.
I said something good.
That's dramatic.
It's certainly dramatic.
Say, you like Kill the Kill and Cutie Honey.
I love Cutie Honey.
There's plenty of Viki out there. You just take a punt and see if I might find something great in the first try. Probably not, but try.
It's funny, go back to like early episodes of this show. I was always like, nah, I don't like this girly stuff. Whereas I think I was just frightened to admit it. I think I was just frightened. Whereas look at me now, cutie honey. The Goldsmith cat.
Girly stuff.
You're growing up, Anthony.
The Doga Magica. I've evolved.
Into watching girly stuff made for men.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm still holding on to the masculinity sitting out my pores.
So, any other anime set in the USA springs to mind?
Madball 34.
I was going to say.
Hops right in there. California Crisis. Also, completely true American stuff. Bacano. Bacano's in America.
Oh, yeah, good
show. Miami Guns.
Yeah.
That's like the poor man's with cats.
Yeah, Hero Man was just a Stan Lee thing.
Cameo. Yeah, he makes a cameo in it as well.
Chrono Crusade, that's the one set in like 1920s with the nun and the...
That's pretty bad. Okay. That's a pretty bad show that people seem to inexplicably love.
The manga's kind of good. And I like the manga is, you know, it's a pitch look because it's kind of cheap and I was kind of enjoying it. And, you know, it kind of pulls along for a while. It gets good towards the end. It probably is one of the kind of better endings if I've seen in the manga as well in a long time. It's only like 8 volumes, so I thought, yeah, I'll finish it out. Like, it's pretty good. I'm not the total good. But I agree that the anime is pretty mediocre.
My mind is, I can't think of anything. Everything that pops into my head is like something that's so obviously Japan, it's...
Yeah, those were the animals who sprung to my mind as well. And obviously there's loads of Lupin episodes. And, but he goes all over the world. He's an international man.
The only thing I also written down was a portion of Shaman King.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, that's pretty good.
What?
That's probably when Shaman King picks itself back up a bit.
Oh, okay.
It's when they get to America.
Yeah, and the guy basically go down Route 66 to get to, I think like the Shaman Terminal is on like the Indian Reservation.
It is, yeah.
Somewhere like that, yeah.
I never finished it. I think I got the episode where one of the Shaman teams they fight is Bubba Ray Dudley.
What?
Edge. And one of the Hardy Boys.
No way.
And I can't remember what they call them. The items they use to channel the spirits through is a table, ladder, and chair.
Nice.
What? Are they really in it? How are they designed? How are they?
They're characters who look exactly like Bubba Ray Dudley, Edge, and one of the Hardy Boys.
That sounds amazing.
I believe they're anime original characters that don't come from the comic.
Why have I never seen this? Oh gosh!
I can't remember if I had to when I did my wrestling presentation or not.
I was about to say, yeah. Well, maybe it's time to dust it off.
Okay. Anything else you want to bring up, or shall we move on to my cat-based quiz?
I want to mention Ping Pong the animation.
Go ahead.
I know. I just want to say.
Late tangent. Go ahead.
How unbelievably awesome watching two people hit a ball from side. I've played table tennis before and it's very fun, but this makes it so exciting without having to add crazy bizarre powers and abilities and weird techniques. It's strictly ping pong and it's very fun. It looks great. The characters just feel so real. It actually reminded me, I'm surprised, because you like it as well, don't you, Brian?
Oh, I love it, yeah.
Because it almost felt, I know it's not, and you're going to criticise this, but it looks a bit like Flowers of Evil.
It doesn't really.
In a way it does. If you compare, it's a lot sketchier and clearly animated.
Yeah, it's better animated. That's why it's one.
Aside that paint scene, which I urge everyone to see in Flowers of Evil, completely off topic. There's a scene where they throw paint around a classroom that is amazing. But yeah, Ping Pong the animation, everyone should watch that.
Yeah, I would say the difference is that in Ping Pong, all the movement in it is carefully thought out and is deliberate. If there's any movement there, it's there because they wanted it to be there, not because they accidentally picked it up while they were filming some live action. And it ended up in the animation and made it look all wobbly and unnerving.
See, I loved Flowers of Evil, as you're well aware. But this is definitely one of my favourite shows of this season.
Ping Pong. Also, they talk like human beings, and they're nice characters. And
They're all so believable.
Yeah.
I would love to see. I just want to see episode 2 right now.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I say that's the best thing airing at the moment. The thing I enjoy the most is JoJo's, and the thing which stays in my head the most is Captain Earth.
You felt so strongly about Captain Earth?
It's just trying to untangle all the things which are going on here.
Yeah. I've only watched the first episode.
I was like it's proud declaration in the outbreak saying everything will become obvious very soon.
It's like I completely forgotten in the publicity materials that it said the Kill Tea Gang are from Uranus, because there's no mention of that at all in those first two episodes. I was like, okay, that throws all my theories out the window. Remembering that, if that's not a red herring,
it didn't. I mean, I've seen people talk about it on Twitter, and it just didn't sit with me. As well as people are making it out like it's so good. And it's not.
Yeah, you really have to pay attention.
Maybe that's why I was kind of.
Because I rewatched the first episode. Because I watched the second episode and I thought, oh, those are new interesting things they've introduced. Then I rewatched the first and I was like, oh, no, they were in the first episode as well.
Okay.
They were just in the background in labels on things.
But Ping Pong is amazing.
Yeah, Ping Pong is the best thing currently.
And I hope it goes on for a while. Well, no, I don't. I just want them to do what they've got to do, and I'm sure they're going to do it well.
Okay, Mike.
Go a kick heart, pal.
Cat quiz! So, I'm going to name some cats, or for Anthony, cat girls.
Oh, boy.
And you tell me what show they're from.
Easy.
Niall, you go first. Doraemon.
From Doraemon.
You are correct.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Anthony, Digico.
Digitaris?
You are correct. Got it right this time. It was finally an answer.
Paid off at last.
Niall, Tarkum.
Is con like the honorific?
Yes.
Tarkon. Was that in Toradora? I don't know.
No.
Guessing.
I would not know the names of any characters from Toradora.
Is it? Providing it's getting passed to me. I don't
know
what
it is. It is getting passed to you. Quiz. Yes.
Is it the cat from Azumanga Daioh?
No.
Oh,
it's from Fooly Cooly.
Oh, that's frustrating.
Anthony, Poochico.
Who?
Poochico.
Poochico. Why does that ring a bell? I'm leaning to, I know that's not a cat. I was going to say Shin-chan, but no, I'll pass.
Niall, Poochico.
I'm going to guess, based on the name. Is that Digicarat again?
It is, yes.
Oh, Dad. I've never seen the show.
Hey, Niall. Chi Yamada.
She's beautiful.
You are correct. Anthony, Shampoo.
Digicharit?
No. Niall, Shampoo.
Boy, Shampoo, I know. I'm one half.
You
so
are correct.
I guess that.
You are
okay.
Correct.
I didn't know she was a cat.
Yes, that's what she turns into when she gets wet.
Okay.
Niall. Ropon Matsu Unit 2.
Excel Saga.
You are correct. Anthony, Corin.
I'm just going to guess at Cat Planet Cuties.
Nope. Niall, Corin, where's Corin?
I'm going to say Dragon Ball.
You are correct.
Oh, damn it.
Niall, Altair.
Altair, that sounds familiar. Is that in Kitty Grade?
No.
Okay.
I think there is a character called that, but I don't know if they're a cat or not.
Altair.
Anthony, Altair.
My mind is so blank tonight. I'm going to have to pass.
That is from Gatchaman Crowds.
No, I didn't like that show.
Anthony, Blair.
Blair?
Blair. No, Blair. as in Tony Blair.
Tony Blair, as I thought. Is this a cat girl or just a cat?
No, not telling.
Okay. Blah, 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 blah. I'll pass.
Niall Blair.
That's Sawley here, I believe.
Yes, you are correct.
Oh, damn it. I know these by sight, but not by name. Clearly.
Niall, Kurobi.
How's that spelled?
K-U-R-O-B-E. Kurobi.
Oh. Is that the one with that cyborg cat with the terrible intro? Cyborg Kuro-chan?
Maybe, but that's not who I was thinking of.
Okay. Could you spell that out again for me?
K-U-R-O-B-E.
Oh, it's not the one. I was thinking bloody... I'm not going to say it in case it pops up again later. Kurobi.
It probably is coming up again later.
It is. I know it is. Because you know what I'm thinking of. I'll pass.
That is Kurobi from Puyo Puyo.
Oh, is that the other cat?
Yes, the gay cat.
Damn it.
Okay. Here's an easy one for you, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Hello Kitty.
From Hello Kitty.
You're correct.
Oh, get a sympathy question.
Niall Pua.
Dragon Ball Z.
You are correct. Anthony, Speedy Ceviche. Speedy Ceviche.
I'm going to guess, because it always pops up, that marionette Jane thing.
No. Niall. Speedy Ceviche. Samurai Pizza Cats. You are correct. Samurai Pizza Cats is the answer.
God damn it.
Niall. Uni Puma.
Oh, Dominion Templates.
You are correct.
Oh, well done.
Anthony. Felicia.
Darkstalkers.
You are correct. Niall. Anna Puma.
Dominion Templates.
You are correct. Anthony, Niami-chan.
Niami-chan, Cat Planet Cuties.
You're the one who's seen that.
No. You say seen. I own it on DVD and I watched an episode. Because she could have been called Brian Smith and it wouldn't have clicked. I watched that little bit.
Niall, do you know who Niami-chan is from?
That's most a generic name for a cat I can think of. Forget. Let's say... I don't know, Gatchigan.
No, she's from Gagamanga Biori. She's one of the...
The friends of the rabbit.
Yes.
Oh, see, I'm terrible with names. The one with the rabbit, the Russian one. Yeah, no.
Niall, last one for you. Kuroneko. Sorry, Kuroneko.
Oh, it's Trigon.
Yes.
Oh, well done. That was...
And, Anthony, your last one. Baron Humbert von Gickigen. Gickigen.
Right, hold on. Say that again.
Baron Humbert von Gickigen.
Cat Returns?
You are correct. All the other thing is in.
I thought you were going to do Madoka Magica, the little cat thing from that.
That's not a cat. It's a thing.
Because I said, when you said Kuro, whatever the other one was.
No, I thought you meant Kuroneko was
who. Oh, no, I was leaning towards them. Madoka Magica cat. I know it's, I guess it's not a cat, more of a...
He's more of a Pokemon.
Yeah. If we're going to be specific.
That's good. Because that was when I got that plush in that.
Oh, you didn't think it was a Pokemon, did
no,
you?
No, but I was going to take a photo and put it on Twitter and ask if anyone knew which Pokemon this was.
Oh, that would have been great. That would mean great.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to do that Madoka Magica episode.
Oh, you're going to have to wait a bit.
Why, you're not in the mood?
Well, because it's not on the schedule for a while yet. So. And also, I'm never going to be in the mood, so maybe we should do it as quickly
you're
as
gonna
possible.
I'm saying this now. Brian is going to love it.
I hate the character design.
Just, what's wrong with them?
They've got horrible squashed heads. I don't like the other thing the character designer did, the comic, which they end up, the thing Elliot loves so much, Hidamari sketch.
Put some cardboard over the top of your TV and block out the faces and then just enjoy the rest of it.
Do you like it, Niall?
I've seen it and I enjoyed it.
I feel so passionate about it. I don't get why nobody else, well, people are.
Yeah, everybody else but me. But yeah, I didn't care for it. What I saw of it.
We'll rectify that.
You're going to turn me around like we turned you around on the St. Young Men.
Yeah, yeah, after a 45-minute discussion.
Got a flip.
I was on board.
The brain flip.
Exactly.
After explaining to you all the bits we like, then you suddenly realising, oh, I like those bits as well, so maybe I do like it. Anyway, Niall, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on my old podcast, Secret of Man, talking about cartoons or assorted, well, actually, just cartoons of various kinds. That's at secretcinemaster.blogspot.com, also on iTunes. If you want to find me, I'm on Twitter, Nicholas Cage, that's NIALLCAS_Cage.
Anthony, how about you?
It's still not up yet, so... No, it will be up. It will be up. Forget that. It should be up. If there's not, there's a problem. Go to youtube.com/lockeddoorpuzzle. No spaces, obviously, because it's a URL. That doesn't work. In fact, it probably would. No, forget that. Yeah, Locked Door Puzzle. And watch me on Adventure Bastards. Do a Call of Cthulhu. It's going to be fun. It is fun. See who dies. I won't spoil it, though. Not spoiler, but yeah, Twitter is AntAskew. So go there and watch me tweet. Well, don't watch, because that'd be a bit weird. If you sat waiting, because they're not usually that good. You should follow anyone. But yeah, that's me. I've already dug a hole. I've dug holes.
I'm also on Twitter @awesome_engine. If I do anything on the internet, you shall surely find it there.
Watch him tweet.
A link for. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the explosion that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ugh, see ya.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.